Brian, firefighters respond to an apartment fire this morning just after 3 a.m. where a pup was rescued and resuscitated.
Unfortunately, at first they thought the dog was deceased, but then they noticed it taking very shallow breaths. The guys were able to administer oxygen to the pup.
Firefighter Chris Lamb says it took about 1 hour of administering oxygen through a special animal mask. By the time firefighters were ready to leave the scene, the pup was wagging her tail. One of three people who were displaced was transported to a hospital for evaluation. No firefighters were injured. The fire started in a first-floor apartment on Finfeather Road, and there was smoke damage to a second-floor unit. The cause is under investigation. Most of this month's flooding rains became runoff and did not have a chance to filter down to underground aquifers.
In a typical, normal year, 37, 38, 40 inches, whatever it might be in a given year, 5 inches of that will actually infiltrate and be able to get to the aquifer as recharge.
Alan Day at the Brownson Valley Groundwater Conservation District says homeowners can check a website to determine if they need to run their irrigation systems.
We'll literally tell anyone how much at their location within a neighborhood what they should actually be watering any given week based on real data that we've collected.
The website, which is funded by the district, is bvwatersmart.tamu.edu. Again, bvwatersmart.tamu.edu. Executives of a Japanese manufacturer were the first to check out the new 210,000-square-foot production facility of Bryan-based national apparel and promotional products company, CC Creations.
Going from a 65,000-square-foot building to a 210,000-square-foot building, we had to learn how to operate in this kind of space. It's a quarter of a mile walk from point to point, so when we have somebody dollying products down there, it takes them a little while to get there.
CC Creations owner Kenny Lawson says production began in March in a space that's triple the size and almost 40 degrees cooler compared to their previous location.
When it's 117 on your print floor in June of last year versus 78 on your print floor today, they're in a much better mood. They're much more productive. Right now in our new facility, we're already seeing gains of 66% less misprints.
Lawson hosted the CEO and other leaders of the Japanese-based manufacturer of 22 embroidery machines at the new Legacy campus. The last meeting of the Bryan ISD School Board included public comments from BISD graduates who say the district discriminates against Hispanic and Black educators and students. After Marie Rodriguez criticized Superintendent Ginger Carabine by name, Board President Julie Harlan attempted to move the matter behind closed doors.
Before you even came up here and said, if you want to talk about specific employees, those will be heard in closed session.
And with all due respect, Ms. Harlan, you made that offer before, and you have not followed through on it. That's why I'm here today in public.
Right now, come on, let's go.
The exchange ended in public.
We can go back there and discuss it, but whatever the ultimate response is needs to be made public so that the parents of this district that are 85% minority know what's going on.
I'm going to stop you again. You've had your 3 minutes.
Marie's husband, Jody, said there are race issues in the salaries paid to the top 100 BISD employees. He also said the race of BISD educators should reflect the student body, who he says are 85% minorities. Board members by state law were not allowed to respond because the topic was not on the agenda. A Bryan man admits to drunk driving when his vehicle struck two pedestrians crossing Texas Avenue north of University at 2 in the morning, killing one and injuring the other. 45-year-old Jay Griffin III was sentenced to 2 years for DWI with a child in his vehicle and for violating probation from a prior conviction of possessing a controlled substance. Assistant Brazos County District Attorney Kevin Capps says Griffin was indicted on the DWI charge from the collision that happened almost 3 years ago because there was no evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that criminally negligent homicide or intoxication manslaughter took place.
In this particular case, we simply didn't have any evidence of a dangerous speed or weaving all over the road. And then also combined with the fact that it was very dark at that time of night and there would have been very limited visibility in order to see when you were about to encounter somebody.
Cap says the Bryan police investigation estimated the speed of Griffin's vehicle was between 34 and 53 miles per hour in the 40-mile-per-hour zone.
And even if it were closer to the high end, even though that's in excess of the speed limit, I don't know that we would consider that to be a reckless driving speed.
Griffin's blood alcohol level 3 hours after the collision was just over the legal limit at 0.09.